This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Got 30 down at the bottom, 30 more at the top. All invisible set and little ice cube blocks. If I could call it a drink, call it a smile on the rocks. If I could call out a price, let's say I call out a lot. I got like platinum and white clothes, traditional gold. I'm changing grills every day, like Jay changed clothes. I might be grilled out nicely. Oh. In my white tee, oh. On South Beach, oh. In my wife be VVS studded. You can tell when they cut it. You see, my grandmama hate it, but my little mama love it. Cause when I
open up your mouth, your grill gleaming.
I said hello from the chief, and what's up, Mama Holics? How we doing? It's me, your favorite host, James Bailey, at the HMB Studios. Thank you once again for tuning in to my mom's favorite podcast. Let me turn that down. I am your favorite host of my mom's favorite podcast, the only host, as always. But as always, I don't give a shit. I will take the default win setting. Oh, shit. Mama Holics, we're doing the countdown here. You got about three or four of these left, and then, oh, Jesus Christ. Been smoking a platinum, no, I'm sorry, I lied, Girl Scout cookies. No, that was what I, no, Jesus Christ, it's train wreck this week, ladies and gentlemen, train wreck, and as you can see, I'm already a bit of a train wreck. Damn, I'm fucking A. Red Bull's going to help me out, though, so children, don't worry. Yeah, we're getting down to like the last three or four of these, and I'm on my way to Wisconsin. So don't worry, guys, I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to give you all my dates. You have plenty of opportunities to hear me, to come see me this week. The reason that you just heard Grills by Nelly featuring Paul Wall is because my guest this week is Mr. Bitter Big Head, Jonas Presendue, with his nerd grill, as Mike Morse would call it, or his nerd bling. Jonas is the grill man with the braces, so I decided to play some grills. What's up, dog?
James, good to be here, brother. This feels great. This is great. This is great.
Even though I started off with a little bit of a jab at you.
You know what? I just thought it was a racist thing, but no. You know, I get the direction now. That does make sense.
Dude, I love that song when that shit first came out.
wasn't that song everything? Like, that's the only thing you wanted to listen to for a while.
Me and some of my friends were like so in love with this song that my gay friend Billy would walk around singing it. We worked in a restaurant, and he was like, he wasn't super flamboyant, but when he talked, especially when he tried to rap, you're like, oh, you gay, huh?
That's how you get to know.
Yeah, he's super cool though. But I'd be like, yo, Billy, I'm gonna turn you into the first gay gangster rapper. We're gonna get you a rainbow grill. And he's like, really? Are we? It's gonna be great. I was like, oh, stop it.
Oh, but, man, I wanted one so bad, like a grill. But my teeth were too messed up. I actually went to go get fitted for one.
No, well,
I did. This one, yeah, it was. I was doing a lot of stuff for money back in the day, and I could afford it. And I went to go get fitted, and the guy wouldn't do it because my teeth were just not good. So that's why I got braces now.
But I mean, if you're giving head for money, do you really want to get a grill?
Ooh,
oh, yeah, that was a low blow. That was a low blow.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good low blow. It was a perfect kick to the nuts.
I used to want to get one just because I'm not a dark-skinned black fellow. As many of our people would say, I'm high yellow.
did you ever feel that need growing up, by the way? Like, you know, to have to prove your blackness to people?
See, I grew up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, yeah. It wasn't, you know, because it's, how do I, like, I grew up in Wisconsin with my white family. Mm-hmm. My black family was all in Houston. Like, we didn't have contact with them until I was 14 or so.
Okay.
Like, that's a whole nother fucking fun story. but yeah, so it's like, oh, anytime you saw me, I was with my white mother and like my white cousins and my white aunts. And then like we moved to a predominantly black neighborhood, but I was still on the side of the street with all the white people. Wow. Like it was rental houses and shit over here. And then across the street were apartment complexes where like one of them was called Little Africa because it was like four project buildings that were like all black people. Then there was Little China, which was really racist because they were all actually Hmong.
What? Okay.
they called it Little China. So there's like three, four project buildings of Hmong.
You know what you look like, though? You look like a Native American.
I used to get that sometimes up there.
I would assume you look like a Cherokee.
With
or
the
something.
Hair now, yeah.
Yeah, with like a Cherokee or something like that.
I used to get Eskimo.
Yeah, Eskimo, definitely.
I never got Spanish. It was either Native American, Eskimo, or mixed. Like or, when I was up there, not correct. When I was.
Or like, know. or like Hawaiian. Or Pacific Asian, the Asians that look like Chinese people, but they live in the water.
I would have bigger arms. I feel for that. Because Samoans have pretty big arms.
But you have like, great. Wait a minute, you have great arms though.
They're kind of they're thin as in comparison to my belly. you've been fucking buffing up here.
Yeah,
you could pass for Samoan before I could, maybe.
Maybe, man, the braces would give it away though.
Yeah, and you shave your head.
Yeah,
you need to let that full head of hair, that nice long wavy black.
I wish I could grow hair like.
Oh,
that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yours is a by choice by force though.
By choice by force. I actually started going bald when I was 19.
Oh.
19 years old, and it was the craziest thing. I didn't know what was going on, and this just start the middle part. It just started going away, and this is when I knew I had to. True story. This is when I knew I had to. I was at Side Splits to catch Bobby Kelly, and he saw me and he called me out on it. He goes, when I was your age, my hairline started receding. and he goes, listen, you're not gonna make it in this business if you don't shave it off. And I was.
And didn't Weingarten like set you down one night too?
Weingarten set me down. Yeah, but Weingarten, he was setting me up for the Bobby Kelly moment. You understand? That's what that was. And so
that was deleted.
So when I finally got there, you know, I was like, I'll go ahead and do it. And shout out to Weingarten, man. He's just been so supportive. Shout out to Johnny B. We talk about a bald head man. Another shout out to Michael Parks, another brother with just Ron Horton. We're a community. We're a community. We support
Weingarten
each other.
Will be on here next week.
Oh, shout out to Weingarten.
I got Weingarten and Janner coming on next week, and then Johnny B is at the end. Johnny B is actually going to be the last one before my hiatus as I move.
I'm telling you, us funny bald head comics, we just stick together. Matt Fernandez needs to go next, man.
He pretty much does.
Yeah, he's going there, but, you know, yeah.
He doesn't keep up on it.
He would look great with a bald head, though.
No, he does. We did Finley's together. For those of you that don't know, Matt Fernandez is another local comic. He's been on here a couple times. Mm-hmm. Just open for Chappelle, and he's, like, Burr and Stan open, all that
Absolutely.
Shit. We just did Finley's a couple weeks ago, and he had, like, fresh shave for the show, yeah.
Woo! Put Matt Fernandez in there.
I think Matt Fernandez is more, like, apathy and laziness, though, whereas, like he... I think he knows what's going on, but it's like unless he has a show, he's not gonna. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Like, yeah,
he needs to. Yeah, that's the thing. He's not committed.
No, he's just lazy. I don't think he cares. Plus, he's so tall.
Correct.
Like you're kind of tall. You could get away with it, I think, a bit longer. Mm-hmm. I got a friend. I'm not gonna call him out, but he's
call
like,
him out. You're dropping names. Just call him out.
All right. Well, it's my friend Shane. He's not a comedian. He's one of my outside friends, but he's like 6'2", 6'3". And so he has, like, the horseshoe in the back. Like, his front hairline's receded a bit, but it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. But he's got that horseshoe in the back where it's just that fist-sized bald spot right on the top. But since he's tall, he still gets his hair faded and just hopes nobody can see it way up there. When he sits down, though, it's like, oh, just let it go, dog.
Yeah, that's it. Just, you know, you just let it. And my life has been great ever since. I didn't know there was a whole community of women like into bald headed dudes. Like that, like that's a niche for lots of women.
Dude, when I just used to shave my head down to like a zero, mm-hmm. There would be a lot of women, like, and I mean from high school up until I stopped doing it a couple years ago, that would just the little peach fuzz would just liked how it felt and would just rub the peach fuzz and shit.
I'm telling you, man, I don't know. I didn't know. And it's just been great. Life has been great since I went bald.
Dude, I like having the hair, man.
Really?
I like having the hair. Yeah, it gives me something to like. I run my hands through it when I'm on stage and shit. Like, it helps me accentuate points. You know,
I don't disagree, man. You know, us bald guy, we rub our heads. Like, you know, we do that on stage. We rub our heads on stage.
I do. It's different with the hair though. Because like I can lean forward, have it come down a little bit, then pull it back over the face. Really good expression.
That looks so cool. You've done it a few times. I've never meant to tell you this, bro. It looks so good when you do it.
Well, I'm glad it works out.
Absolutely,
like,
man. It's you. Who else? It's a few other comics. Tim C, another guy. He does the thing, and then he, you know, that's man. And I saw you do it at the Improv when I went to go see you on that late 30s show, man. You know
oh yeah,
I mean?
That was fun.
Which
was
you
fun.
Tore down, by the way.
I would have liked to have had a stronger set,
dude. I like when I every time I see you, you know, you always put in something like new and dope at the same time. Like it's really something cool to watch. I enjoy you.
Aw, you're making me blush. No, it don't get me booked, but I appreciate I appreciate the comics love. I'm going to end up being one of those comics that, like, works the same city for, like, 20 years. And all the comedians there are like, I don't know why he hasn't gone nowhere. Every time I see him, he has new shit. The clubs are like,
every time.
Because I don't take time to polish anything. I'm so fucking manic. I'm just like, oh, new shit.
Aren't you like that? Yeah, isn't it weird comics are like that with new material? Like, we finally get something new, like, we could do it. We just, like, drop. We're just ready to drop the whole thing and just, like, you know, run with it.
It is. It's, like, and once I started getting booked more, I mean, like, do you find this, too, that once you get booked more, it feels like, all right, if I know I have, like, this weekend I have Snappers coming up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's five sets. I know that I'm going to be able to do, like,
shout out to Bob Burr, by the way. He doesn't think I'm funny. But shout out to Bob Burr.
He doesn't like you?
Nah, he doesn't like me. I don't know why.
Maybe we'll get you out there Friday.
Man, we'll
talk to him if you want to make the drive out to Clearwater.
Absolutely. I'd like to make a man. Shout out to Bob. That's good people, though, man. But he don't think I'm funny.
We'll see. I'll talk to him. But anyway, I like doing when I have a weekend like that because I know I have my shit that I do that's part of my 30-minute, you know, feature. Like, this is my strong material.
Mm-hmm.
But now I know I got five shows, so every show I can slip in 3 to maybe 5 minutes Absolutely. Of brand new shit or maybe even more. You know, slip it in here and there, make sure it's sandwiched in between stronger bits, and then I get to work out more shit. Like, is that how, like, do you like doing that, like, sandwiching in new bits when you have features, or you just throw them out there, like, fuck it, let's see what happens?
No, I don't do that. I'm telling you something right now. All my sets are planned. All my sets are planned.
Like, how intricate? Like, are you down to, the shrug, the mic fondle, or, like...
It's really because I don't have to worry about my mannerisms. All the mannerisms and how I do things, that's always going to be consistent. I don't have to worry about that. But it is down to the point where it's like even the transition, even the crowd work. I don't like doing crowd work. I don't want to do it. So if I interact with the audience, it's because it's to get somewhere bigger.
Right.
And all that is planned out. I have to.
So, I don't know. I like to, I have an outline. Like, I generally know, like, if nothing happens where if the crowd doesn't give me anything, if it just goes, quote-unquote, according to plan, mm-hmm. then I have a set. But at the same time, like, if a crowd's really liking me, I might try to slip in some jokes that, you know, it's like, I throw them in there when the crowd really likes me because then they'll get a big laugh.
Right.
And then maybe I'll take something else out or if, you know, it's not going good with drugs, I'll just abandon talking about drugs and just start talking about women, like...
And I feel like that's fun, too, man, but the thing about me is when I go on stage, it's not that like I don't look at it that yeah. Because my thing is there's a certain way I want my set to flow, right? So my goal is by the end of my set for that night, you know, I have a character that, you know, like it's like I'm not just like a person on stage, which I feel like I am right now. I don't feel like I'm a character yet.
Right.
And in order for me to get that, I need to make sure everything goes in a sequential way. It's all, but it's because I do look back at my sets,
right?
And then I track every set and how that went, and I can understand how jokes, you know?
Right. No, I got you. You started as a stage actor, right? Doing like plays and shit, didn't you?
Correct.
So for you, it's almost more, and you know, I might be wrong here, but it almost just seems like because that's where you started with a very structured, like, we're going to get up on stage, I'm going to say this, you're going to say this, I'm going to react this way about it, and it's very, you know, step by step to get to the point that you want, whereas, like, I didn't start like that. I'm, like, the dude that was in the bar when I drank, and people would be like, oh, dude, you should fucking do comedy, and my dad was like, yeah, do comedy, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was kind of that guy that just bullshitted around, so for me, it's better to go loose and to kind of to have my general idea, but to allow myself a lot of wiggle room because that's how it is with me personally. Do you think you feel better in that structured environment, though?
I do. And actually, when I do, and I will admit this, I actually feel better and I have a more fun time on stage when I actually go with that kind of flow. That's for real.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really at a point now where I'm really trying to get something with this comedy thing and enable for me to get to that level. I need to know everything I'm doing at all times. Because right now, you know, we're not there yet. I know that. I'm nowhere near there yet. But, you know.
I wouldn't say nowhere near. You're near.
I'm maybe getting close. Maybe a little closer. I wouldn't even say I'm near. But to be honest, it's like I'm trying to build an hour. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to. You know what I'm saying? James, let me say. I'm trying to have an hour. I'm trying to have an hour before I get to the point where I need to make an hour special. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so enable for me to get to that point, you know, everything has to be calculated. Because an hour act, you just can't play with. You do your special. Nobody wants to see you do crowd work when they watch a Netflix special.
Well, I mean, it depends. Because people like D.L. Hughley and... oh, God damn it. Now I can't think of another person who does great crowd work. Yeah, very few people are very good at... But, like, those type of people you want to... I feel like... Did I just start yelling? Jesus. Did you just get that echo?
Mm-mm. Did you yell?
I don't know. Sometimes I get a little excited.
Right.
God damn it. What fucking... We were just making a really good point. Oh, crowd work.
Yeah.
So if it's somebody who's really good at crowd work or known for crowd work, like if Catherine Maloney mm-hmm. Put out a fucking... Or Bull Osie put out a special, there's going to be crowd work on it because Catherine Maloney and Bull Osie do crowd work. Chris Gorgeous does crowd work mm-hmm. for, like, people that we know.
That's true.
So, like, if it's... I would watch a special for that because that's what they do, though. But if you don't do crowd work... I had a different fucking point. I can't remember where I was going with
well,
that.
The thing about... If you want to do crowd... The thing about all those guys that you mentioned, right?
Right.
D.L. Hughley and all those guys. The guys who's made it. They have a TV character, you know, like they already associate them with something. And so...
Yeah, but remember, Hughley started as a stand-up.
He did. But stand-up is not what put Hughley on, like, the way he is. Like, you know, it was good. He did his thing with stand-up. But we all know his stand-up did not get him to the level to where he is now.
It got him...
It was a TV show.
It got him definitely in front of all the black crowds and black theaters.
Absolutely.
And then once he did the TV show, white people were like, oh, let's go take a look at this guy.
A whole new other level. You know what I'm saying? So those guys, they have leeway. They can do crowd work.
Which is weird because you see more crossover that way. Like, you see a lot more people who started out or traditionally only work, quote-unquote, black rooms or, quote-unquote, black... Or, I suppose, urban is the way it's supposed to be said. Now, I can say it because I'm black, but, you know. urban rooms or whatever. You'll see crossover with them. People like Martin Lawrence and Chris Tucker and D.L. Hughley and, you know, Bernie Mac. People who started in traditionally black rooms and eventually did something that got them to the point that everybody would see them. But you don't see people necessarily like John Mulaney, or like Jim Jeffries even, or Bill Burr, somebody that does, well, maybe Bill Burr, but, you know, people that do traditionally all white rooms go and then start doing urban clubs once they blow up. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work really both ways.
Correct. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And it does work out that way, but it's just crazy. It just depends on the guy. I feel like you can still make it through stand-up. It's just, like, 50 times harder.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Tom Segura, me and Bert Kreischer, and shout-out to Law. Shout-out to Law Smith, man. He introduced me to Bert. But, you know, me and Bert, he was just sitting there just talking about how he was ticked off Tom Segura made it so fast off of, like, one special. He was just like, are you kidding me? I had to do all this. And because him and Tom Segura are really good friends, like best friends. And it's like, do you freak? And then he was like, and this guy, he's like, I decided to go on vacation, and this guy drops a special, and now everybody knows him.
Well, don't forget, there's two, he has two albums before that. Mm-hmm. Thrilled and White Girls with Cornrows.
Which are great, but that's
the White Girl with Cornrows fucking dying.
White Girls with Cornrows are funny. But we know that those tapes did not put him on to where he is now.
No, he really blew up off of Completely Normal.
Yeah, the Netflix was phenomenal, by the way.
But see, that's the thing. But, well, okay, now look at Bert Kreischer, though, over, say, the last few years. Mm-hmm. He's starting to blow up a lot more, and it's kind of because that whole The Machine story mm-hmm. started going viral again. Because I hadn't heard it until, like, recently. Now it's fucking everywhere I go, I'm hearing it and shit. Like, so it's... I think it's more of a time thing where a lot of, like, Bill Burr, look how fucking long Bill Burr was around doing work because mm-hmm. He had been around for a long time when he was on Chappelle's Show.
Absolutely.
And that was, what, 10 years ago?
And I'm sure it got him a TV, so, you know, some work, too.
Being able
to have that TV credit.
Yeah, he did. And he was always a good club guy and shit. He's been a, you know, real road dog. Mm-hmm. But, you know, though, now you can blow up a lot faster. Like a Tom Segura, like Chris D'Elia has only been doing it, what, 10 years or so, 12 years?
Yeah.
And he's on his second TV show. He's got two specials on Netflix, one special, you know, like Chris D'Elia blew up. And he's a funny guy. Mm-hmm. not saying that he doesn't deserve it, but nowadays with it being on Netflix and being every, you know, you don't have to wait for the dude to come through your town to blow up. You can go on YouTube, Netflix, CISO, yeah. Amazon, Hulu, blah, 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 you know, and be like, oh, that dude is funny. So when he comes to your town, you're not like, eh, you already know what you're getting.
Absolutely.
So like people can blow up, like Devin Siebold, his special's on Amazon right now from the Orlando scene. Have you met, you know, Devin, the teacher?
Shout out to Devin Siebold, man. Yeah, we did a thing together at South Spurs a while ago. That's cool, peoples.
Yeah, we've done a couple things, just like mics and shit like that, nothing huge. But, yeah, so anybody listening, go to Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Siebold.
Shout out to Devin Siebold.
His Amazon special, support local guys.
Yeah, support local guys. How many views that thing streaming in? Over 6,000, some change.
I think it was, that's the last count I saw, but I think it's probably, it's been going up.
Dude, shout out, man, dude, that's just massive, bro.
That's good. That's one of the great things about what's going on right now, is you can put fucking all kinds of content out there.
I was thinking about this, James, right?
Okay, Jonas.
Yo, isn't that a phenomenal time that we live in now, bro, where you don't need to ask for anybody's opinion anymore? Like their opinion or, like, their acceptance means nothing. You could just go out and get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need, like, before you had to wait for so much acceptance to get to where you are now. These guys, they don't need none of that.
Oh, you mean like business-wise, like not just like as a person.
Yeah, like they don't have to worry. Okay,
the way you were saying,
no, like, this is how I'm saying. In this day and era, gatekeepers are not as powerful as they used to be. The gatekeepers in this business are just not as powerful as they used to be.
Oh yeah.
And so now you really don't need nobody's permission. You could just go do your own thing, garner all your fans, and and you'll still get what the people with approval do have anyway.
Well, that's what a lot of comedians have been doing lately. Like Christopher Titus, the last few years, his last—I don't know how many specials, probably like three or so.
Shout out to Christopher Titus.
Titus, who's one of the—that's
a good dude. I had him over for barbecue last night.
Shut up, Jonas. He lives in California. Stop that. Christopher, he's really funny. I've been a fan of his since his old Fox show back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Love that show. Like, really funny dude. Anyway, I was listening to his podcast, and he's done a bunch of his specials himself. He'll call up to whatever city. He'll rent a small theater or whatever. He'll hire a camera crew for the weekend. He'll do the editing and shit himself. He'll just, have different cameras and mics all throughout the crowd and shit. Right. And then he just goes and he sells tickets. He, sets up his own. I mean, he's been doing it a while, so it's easier for him. But he sets up his own radio shows, and he sets up, does everything himself, and then just makes the money and then sells the special to a network.
Dude.
If you want, yeah.
It's just a certain way you got to think and able to do that. It's just a certain way you have to think and able to do that, or else it won't work. I mean, it's just great. What's the name of that Ali Wong on Netflix?
Yeah, Ali Wong.
Yeah, Ali Wong. Actually, shout out to Ali Wong. That's a really good friend of mine too. We went shopping this morning, and so shout out to Ali Wong. But that's what she do. She had to do it pregnant. Oh my goodness.
Well, Kira Sultanovich did the same thing around the same time.
Yo, shout out to Sylvana.
She was like 7 or 8 months pregnant when she did hers too.
Great.
I heard her on like two different podcasts.
We went cherry picking yesterday. We did.
There are no cherry trees in Florida. It's a good thing that like nobody actually listens to this podcast. It's just like five or six people that we know.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Yeah.
There's a fistful of people that we know, so they're just gonna be like, "Oh, these guys are idiots." but yeah, like no, they did the same thing too, though. Where again, they went out, they make their special, like what the fuck is his name? Tony Hinchcliffe.
Tony Hinchcliffe, that's the homie. Shout out to him.
I know you were playing Madden with him last week.
Correct. Yeah. correct. I told you about that.
But yeah, so they just go out and they make their own special and. Then they fucking sell it to Hulu or Netflix or whoever. So yeah, you can just pump out content now.
You need it, man. It's just great. It's just interesting to watch things happen. Comedy Central is just it's still powerful force in comedy, but it's decreasing. It really no longer has the monopoly in for me to sit here and think that Netflix would possibly be able to outpay HBO and Comedy Central for specials.
Dude,
that's. What?
How much money did they just hand Chappelle?
Bro.
How much money did they just hand Chris Rock?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, yeah.
They're about to shell off for Louis in the next Schumer special. The next Hannibal Burr special, the next CK special.
Jim Jeffries.
It is, like, who knew they had $60 million? I didn't think they had $60 million.
I mean, it's weird to think about because, I mean, what I pay, you know, 12 bucks a month, 13 bucks a month because I have, like, the premium package with, like, the extra screens. And then there are people who only pay, like, 10, 12 bucks a month and then have unlimited screens because, you know, they've had it from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that share accounts, but even that, if you're getting 15 bucks a month, well, let's just say 12 bucks a month from however many million people are on the planet Earth, because almost everybody has it in every country.
Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it's international, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, some things you can't get here that you can get in Canada that you can't get in. You can only get, like, three things in China. Mm-hmm. They're all, like, about how great China is.
Yeah, it really is kind of weird. It's just a dope, you know. I honestly feel like most people definitely use Netflix for the comedy. The comedy is probably the strongest thing about Netflix.
I don't know, dude. Well, I think the TV shows, because you can just sit there and binge, and like look at shows like The Gilmore Girls was off the air for how many years, and then all of a sudden it started blowing up because somebody found it on Netflix.
So if. Okay.
Do you watch The Gilmore Girls? Did I just touch a nerve?
No, here's the thing.
That's all right, Jones.
No, hear me out. So then, out of all the segments in Netflix, which one do you think is the strongest? Like, the most views, what most people see?
I would almost make an argument. I would make an argument for TV shows, just because of something that I've seen in a lot of smaller stores that are like, you know, that aren't like big chains or like, you know, maybe.
No, I'm talking about genre. Like what are the genres that you think most people, you know, humor, drama, tragedy.
Overall, it's probably humor.
Humor. You think the comedy section is probably the biggest?
Well, that including specials, TV shows, humorous documentaries, movies, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because I think they even have some shorts on there too. Oh no, Amazon. Amazon has a bunch of Funny or Die stuff.
Yeah, they do have a bunch of shorts on there too. I mean, it's great. It's just a great time for entertainment. So, you know, we'll see.
It's also starting to hit that edge of terrifying time. Because, like, I talk about it on here a lot. It's too much apocalypse.
Too much access. Too much TV.
Dude, not just that, but, like, look at the things that we're getting. Have you played with the new PlayStation Virtual Reality yet?
Mm-mm.
Dude, that shit is fucking insane. It'll have you feeling. Like, I played this one game. Realize you're yanking cords everywhere.
Sorry.
I played this one game. It was a Resident Evil game. And you're, like, walking through this room in this old, like, abandoned country house. It's all ratty. And there's little voodoo dolls, like, strung from nooses all over the ceiling. And I swear to God, like, I had to ask my friend if he was tapping the back of my head because I'd walked past one in the game. And it felt like I literally walked past it. It swung and hit, like, my hair and shit. And he's like, no, dude. It just, my mind tricked me. Your mind tricks you to feel like you're falling. Like, I try to put my hand on a railing. I was, like, leaning over an edge in the game. Mm-hmm. And there's a railing in front of me. And I literally went to put my hand on it so I could lean over and forgot. Like, my brain fucking just didn't make the connection that, dude, this is the game in real life. No railing. And I almost fucking ate shit on my coffee table. It was pretty fun. I was really high.
Wow. That's crazy. But it's just... You know, I mean, those are your options, you know, and that's just how I feel.
Well, it just gets you so deep into the experience. Like, you have options. Jesus Christ, my throat is all of a sudden, like, raspy.
Yeah, you haven't drank any of your water.
Dude, I've drank almost that whole, you're drinking gallons here. Like, I don't know where you, maybe that's why your head is so big. Jonas has a giant head because he just pours water into it all day. Do you urinate at all, or?
I do, lots.
How do you drink so, I mean, you're a big dude, but I mean.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I work out all the time. I do. I lift and I work out all the time. And so I had to stay hydrated or because my muscles will lock up. You know, my muscles will lock up on me.
Right.
So I have to stay hydrated at all times.
I haven't worked out in fucking... I think I have like some 25-pound weights. I pull from around the couch from time to time and do some curls while I'm watching TV.
Here's the thing, James. Here's what I want to know. What happened? Why did you stop?
I ran out of money.
Is that all it was?
I had a gym membership, and then I canceled it because I was getting an apartment that had a 24-hour complex in, or 24-hour fitness center, like in the complex. So I was gonna just do that, and then I ended up not getting the apartment and getting a different place, and so it was just like, I never renewed my membership, and yeah, and I just kind of let it all go, like fuck it. Occasionally, I'll like start going for runs in the morning and eat right, and that'll last a couple weeks, and then I'll just let myself go for a week or two.
That's crazy.
It is, but I'm comfortable. You know, I mean, kind of. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Correct. You know what? You know what? You know what I think sucks about being a comedian? It's like the constant obsession of having to look at yourself. You know, like people take pictures like all the time.
Yeah.
They They take pictures of you when you're on stage randomly. They don't tell you nothing. They just put it up, tag you in it, and it's like, whoa, this is a lot. So who is taking all these pictures?
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about because we have a friend whose wife, you know, won't call him out.
Correct. They Shout come out to every... Todd Stimmel. Shout out to Todd and Julie Stimmel.
Okay, we will call them out.
No, shout out to Todd and Julie. They're phenomenal people.
Oh, they're really nice people.
And Julie does actually take good pictures. I actually really like her pictures. I like the pictures that she takes of me.
I don't like a lot of pictures that I'm in.
Really? And, yeah, I'm the same way, though.
And she surprised me with that shit. Like, she, for those of you that don't know who these people are, they're really good people. Todd does comedy, She comes to everything that he does.
And shout out to Todd. We just did a show in Orlando this past Saturday.
Oh, did you ask? Yeah. I haven't seen him. I got to see him before.
Yeah, Bull and Bush in Orlando. Shout out to the Orlando comedy scene and all that.
Yeah, so they come out, and when I first met them, didn't really know who they were. Uh-huh. And then Julie just tags me in, like, 32 pictures.
Isn't it crazy? She takes like 30 something pictures.
From like an 8-minute set. That's like 3 pictures a second or some shit. 4. She's just like.
And they're great. They're great pictures. I just don't know how it's.
It's almost like a flip book. Fuck it. But like, what do you. All right, look, they're great people. And now that like I know them, like, and I'm expecting it and shit, I usually will grab it too and like save them to my photos or whatever. Uh-huh. But like when you don't know somebody really that well and they're not like, hey, I took a bunch of pictures, all of a sudden you're just tagged on Facebook.
You're just tagged on Facebook with like 80 of them. Yeah. I'm like, bro, does anyone feel like they deserve to have 30 pictures? Like, I don't feel like I'm worth 5 pictures. It should be like 2 okay ones, and that's all I deserve.
I almost feel like I want to use one of those photo not available grayed out pictures as my headshot. Uh-huh. But I really don't think that would fly, like, even a little bit.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Use it. Just try using it.
Try using it once.
Yeah.
Well, fucking Johnny Oz for this show I'm doing this weekend at Snappers, Palm Harbor, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. Get your tickets now.
Shout out to Johnny B.
For Johnny Oz, I meant. Did I say Johnny B?
He said Johnny B.
I meant Johnny Oz, because Johnny Oz does all their website shit.
Oh, shout out to Johnny Oz. He just taught me like how to play the guitar the other day.
He had asked me months ago for a headshot and bio so he could put it on the website, and I forgot. Because I was like, I was doing a show like the next couple of weeks, so I was like, all right, I'll get some good pictures from the show, get a recent headshot, and I just forgot. And he just sends me a link, and he's like, hey, here's a link to that information that you asked for that you gave me. Like, you hit the link and it's just loose shit. And it's like, feature James Bailey. Right. That's it. There's no picture. It's just like, like my bad. Like, can we send that to you real quick? I'm not good at that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. That's it. Yeah. But you get better at it the more you do it.
You know what I think I did do? That I brag on this on my Twitter, and now it's in my bio for Snappers.
Oh, really?
I'm followed on Twitter by Tay Diggs. So what's up?
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I'm looking.
Right hand.
Can I look
right
up
hand.
Right now? Hold on.
Yeah, look at it. No.
I follow you on Twitter. No, you're not.
You do. Yeah, no. Right hand to God. It's on my thing, on my Twitter profile. And I'm also followed by Chris Hardwick's mom.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I'm pulling you up right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, son.
Shout out to at James Bailey, haha.
Yeah, to my name. I think that maybe that's what I'll do when I start doing the podcast again, when I get to Wisconsin. I'll get everything like established and shit. Maybe I'll do a contest to rename my Twitter handle.
Absolutely.
I hate that shit. James Bailey, haha. It's so basic, bitch. It's so basic, bitch. Well, my name is so basic. Have you seen that Basic Bro video yet?
No. What is it?
Well, you saw the one that was like, your symptoms of a basic bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
so
like,
funny, yeah.
Who played the fucking doctor that was like, see, you're basic as fuck. And it's like, you did an Instagram of Starbucks. And she was like, I got to have my coffee. Oh, I'm basic, aren't I? And he's like, yes. That's some base. I think that was like Ed Helms did that video. Well, the one just came out I saw today. I don't know when it came out. I saw it today. It was a basic bro shit. Uh-huh. And it was like, it showed an x-ray of somebody. And in the x-ray, they had like a baseball hat on backwards. I was like, oh. And then it continued on. I was like, you call your male friends your boys. You refer to your basement as your man cave. And there's like something else. And it was Laura Kinney was just, she's like, that's some basic ass shit, bro. You're basic as fuck. She's hilarious, though. Did you find, are you, do you feel good now?
No.
Have you verified it?
Hold on. I'm trying to verify it now. Hold on. Dude, why is there no connection in here?
I don't know. Just get on his Wi-Fi. I don't know the Wi-Fi. So this is what, look, I'm going to show you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that this podcast has been so roughly derailed, but Jonas does not believe me that I'm followed by. Did you ever watch Scrubs?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason that I got so excited when Taye Diggs followed me is because there's an episode where...
Can you go ahead and hook me up to the Wi-Fi?
Hold on. I'm about to show you right now, okay. And then you can put your phone down.
Okay. Yeah, I'm giving up trying to look at it now.
See, look. Taye Diggs, and it says follows you.
How do I know that's your page? Hold on.
Go ahead. Start hitting the back arrow. Taye Diggs follows James Bailey because that's how my life is fantastic. Y'all are jealous. No, but there's an episode where Carl is making fun of Turk, and then JD runs up to defend him, and he's like, your body is fierce, brown bear, like Taye Diggs. And Turk's just like Taye. So it always just tickled the shit out of me. So when Taye Diggs followed me, I was like, yo, shit, Taye Diggs, son, what's good?
Yo, wow, that's pretty dope.
And then Chris Hardwick's mom follows me because, you know, she's a sports fan. Uh-huh. And I made some tweets like a couple years ago during like the draft process or something.
Is she verified on there?
Yeah. She's verified. Her Twitter handle is Nerdist Mom.
Okay.
So that's, but yeah, it's verified. And her profile picture is a picture of her and Chris from, I think, an episode of At Midnight and shit. Yeah, she was on there a couple of times back in the early seasons. I saw her on there.
Okay, yeah. He came up now.
All right. Topic. Yeah. Take a hit out the bowl or a bowl hit. It's our random topics.
Okay.
Yeah, it's because it's a bowl with topics in it. Correct. So it's take a hit from the bowl or a
is
bowl
hit. Is that
how
you always introduce
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Come on, man. I don't know if we did last time. Who was on here with you last time? Wasn't there three of us?
It was three of me, you,
Ayo. Oh, yeah, it was Will because that was.
And Will. Ayo, shout out to Will, too.
You were the first person that I ever got truly petty on, and I turned the mic down because I just didn't want to talk about what we were talking about anymore. I did that recently to somebody else, too. Cool. It's just like every once in a while, you just got to get petty and shut a motherfucker down.
Shout out to Will, man. That's good peoples, man. We went tiger hunting the other day.
Let's not do the shout-out things. Me and Rio spent like 5 minutes doing shout-outs. Right. It was just like pretty much like the whole time. We were just sitting here thinking of everybody that we knew. So we're like, shout-out to Ma, like just every single friend that we had and shit. All right, what you got? What you pull?
Ooh. I feel like we talked about this already, so I should pick another topic.
What is it?
Long hair?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
pick another one.
Okay.
I'm just going to put all the ones next week. By the way, Dave Weingarten gets salty about the fact that I have hair and he doesn't. So next week when he's on, I'm just going to, every topic in there is going to be fucking something to do with my hair. It's going to be like, so Trump's president, how do you think that affects my glorious hair?
He gets it, man. We got to worry about the same problems, man.
Yeah, y'all do. I got to worry about what to run through my luxurious locks. I go down to my, it's up in a man bun like a dude. Fuck, I am basic. All right, read the topic.
All right, topic is game on, road on.
Let's see. Oh, you were covering the first word, shitting, and then it's game on or read on.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Yeah, shitting, game on, or read on.
Oh, okay, game on or read on. Yeah, your handwriting
sucks. So when you shit. Yeah, dude, my handwriting's crystal, man. It looks like a sociopath, but you can read it.
I think, you know what? I think it's just too small. That's why I covered it. I have big hands.
You do have gigantic fucking kielbasa fingers. your poor girlfriends.
Kielbasa fingers.
Just a hymen killers in high school. all right, inappropriateness over. So when you shit, get to appropriate subject matter here. When you shit, do you read or do you play games on your phone?
Ooh, actually, the most is probably the most tweeting and Facebook and email checking I'll ever do.
Really?
Right about, yeah, absolutely. I'm on my phone. I tried the reading thing, and you know what the problem is? People, I don't understand why people have to incorporate activities into using the bathroom. Why do we have to? That's something I feel like when you want to do something like in the bathroom, it should be the quickest thing you want to do. Get in, handle your business, get out, and you can do what you. Why do we need to incorporate reading into it?
See,
and that, phone, you know, phone. I get though because you're still doing something. That's actually still doing something. But reading, like for what? I could do that.
For entertainment,
I'm done.
Man.
Nah, brother, that's not good, brother.
I used to have books that I specifically read just in the bathroom. Yeah, it was like 25 minutes a day, bro. When I shit for real, son. I'm sitting down. I'm lighting some candles. I'm putting some Al Green on. I'm making a special moment here, son. Like they say, no, I'm kidding. I should do the look that Jonas is giving me right now. Would you get off your phone?
It's not. No, I'm trying to get the Wi-Fi.
No, get off your phone. We're having a podcast. You can get on your Wi-Fi tomorrow.
All right, that's all right.
Fucking grind. Come on, man. Pay attention.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Fucking, see, that's what's wrong with your generation. You fucking millennials. How old are you?
I am 25.
No, you're not. You're 22.
25.
Are you really?
25.
You're still young as fuck. And that is what's wrong with you young ass people. on your
dude,
phones.
Dude, you're like 28.
I'm 37. Yeah. My kid graduated high school this year. Yeah, the little asshole I was arguing with earlier. Yeah, and guess what, guys? I can call my kid an asshole. You cannot. I talk shit about my kid. You keep my kid's name out your fucking mouth.
No, are you serious? 37?
Yeah. Dude, my kid graduated high school
so
this year.
So you had kids when you were what, 16?
18. Well, she got pregnant when she was 18. Or, yeah, we got pregnant because, you know, I was involved in it. Like, I didn't get pregnant, but it was my spermicidal lubricants. I don't know. I'm just saying words now. But, yeah, no, I... Yeah, we were 18 and then 19 when she was born. So my kid is 17 years old, graduated early. She'll be 18 in August. I know. I'm old as fuck, but I look good. I moisturize. Cocoa butter.
Yeah. What about like 27? 37.
I know. And I'm going back into Wisconsin, so there's hardly any sun. So this is not really going to crack anymore.
I think we talked about this, but why are you leaving, man?
Because I hate Florida so much.
Is that really it? Is that really it?
That's part of it. Like my
is it most of it?
It's most, no. it's part of the reason that I'm leaving. The reason that I'm going to Wisconsin is more about my daughter.
Okay.
Because she wants to go to school at the UW. So I'm going to move up to Wisconsin now, get everything set up so that when she comes up, she can start going to junior college, then start going to college, and just, you know, like start moving. But I want to get up there now, get everything established. She can stay with me and just focus on school.
Absolutely.
At least for a couple years until she, you know, because she's not really going to know anybody up there but, like, me and my mom. She's met a couple cousins and shit, but she ain't seen none of them in years. We don't get ever – I don't even ever get up there.
Are you cool with your baby moms?
Cool enough. Like, you know, she don't listen to this podcast, so, I mean, pretty much as soon as –
What's
as soon
her
as
name?
My
Just
daughter's
say her name.
18.
Call her out.
Katie.
Okay, shout out to Katie.
No, shout out to Katie.
We went bungee jumping. Like, ago.
Cut that bitch's cord. No. No, don't cut her cord. She has another baby she has to take care of, so don't do that. But when my daughter's 18, that'll pretty much be that. Like, we'll pretty much be, all right, have a great day. Enjoy your life. Shake hands. High five. Peace.
What if she's not ready at 18?
What? To not talk to me anymore?
No, what if she's not ready to, you know, to move on like that?
What are you talking about, my ex?
No.
My daughter?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm still going to hang out with my daughter. I was talking about my ex.
Okay.
No, I'm not cutting my daughter out of my life. Okay. No, my daughter's moving up to Wisconsin with me. Like, I can't do that. That'd be a dick move. Because she's going to move up, like, 2 days, or supposedly a couple days after she turns 18. So it'd be like, all right, welcome to Wisconsin. You don't know anybody. Good luck with your life. Peace. High five. Always high five somebody, though, when you leave them. It's the best way to do it.
Correct. Wow. So you and your baby mom's moving to Wisconsin along with her.
No.
She's going to stay here.
My baby's mom is. I am moving to Wisconsin.
Okay, so you're moving to Wisconsin, and your baby mom's going to stay here with your daughter.
Yeah, we're not together.
Oh, you're not together?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No. We broke up, right when I, like, shortly before I found out my daughter was pregnant. My ex was pregnant. Jesus Christ. I'm really high. Ladies and gentlemen, train wreck has wrecked me, and my Red Bull is wearing off, so now I'm stumbling like fucking kid on crutches.
Yeah, man, you're off pivot, bro.
I am. It's a rough life, man. No, me and my ex broke up shortly before I found out she was pregnant. And then I found out she was pregnant, and I stuck around to, like, you know, for my kid's sake. We tried to make another run of it. Did not work at all. And I've always just kind of been around for my kid. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, you know, as we go forward in the future. But as of right now, I'm moving to Wisconsin. My ex is staying down here. My kid's going to be up there with me. That's the plan. But you get off the topic. So you take care of business when you shit, literally and figuratively. Absolutely. So you're shitting and you're like, I need to do this email. I need to, you know, call this club promoter.
Correct.
See, my shit's my enjoyment time, bro. That's all me in there, man. Like, I don't like candles because I shit at work. But, like, you know, I get in there and I wipe the seat down and, you know, I tuck my shirt, make sure I'm going to be comfortable and, you know, get my little game out. Sometimes I read. If I'm at home, like, I'll read shit on my phone, like sports articles and whatnot. Ugh. Are you a sports guy? I can't remember.
You know, I'm not too big a sports guy. You know, I know sports. I know sports, but I'm not a big sport. I understand what's happening in sports, but I do not understand sports.
No. You're a big dude, too. You should have played. And, like, I keep calling you a big dude. And for people that don't know, I'm not saying, like, he's a big fat ass. Like, Jonas is, like, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
No. I'm 6'1".
You're 6'7"?
6'1".
No, you're bigger than that. Because I'm, like, 6 foot.
Yeah, I think I'm, like, 2 inches taller than you.
So you're 6'2".
6'2".
Maybe 6'4". He looks like a linebacker. He's, like, you're a big, like, did you never played football,
I
basketball?
Did. I played football in pads all through elementary, middle, and high school.
Okay.
And then I played a year at USF.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you just didn't, just done with it?
Yeah, it did work out, man. You know, I don't have good knees, man.
Ah.
I don't have good knees, and just the damage, you know, I think it's different, man, when you start playing your sport in high school.
Yeah.
You see, but I mean, from elementary, third grade was the first time I ever played football with pads on. And since then, year after year, it just took it. I couldn't make it.
Yeah, no, it definitely wears down. I got some friends who, you know, went through a lot of shit. And especially, like, football, getting them concussions and shit.
Absolutely. I have permanent damage to my body because of the years.
Yeah. But they were still, like, most of my damage came from playing without pads. Like, that's when we used to really have... Oh, yeah, dude, we used to play without fucking pads and just, I mean, full contact.
Oh, yeah, and I would do that, too, only when it's raining outside.
Yeah. Oh, no, we just did it. Like, when I lived down here, we had a weekly game. When I lived down here the first time, 98, 99, right around when my daughter was born, me and a bunch of my friends used to have a weekly game at the park for, like, 8 months. Like, 8 months, like, just before and then to just after football season. Then we would start up again the next year. We did that for, like, 2 or 3 years, and... Dude, one of my friends had to get surgery. Mm-hmm. He blew out his ACL.
Okay.
Got hit and, like, just twisted wrong and just... And that was that for him. He's had 2 or 3 surgeries, and that was back in 98, 99, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Dude, I'm fucking... Me and my friends are old, man. Plus, he was in the Army, and he did something in the Army, too, I think.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Did you ever think about joining the service?
No.
No.
I never thought, not once. I think you did it, though. You did it.
No, I didn't do it. I thought about it. They wouldn't take me, though, because I have that felony.
That's right.
That's what happens when you're a felon. What about prison? You ever thought about going to prison?
Oh, dude. You know what? I have been very, very fortunate as a black man with the law. And so I've never went. I've never went. I've had... Officers look out for me, and I've never went.
I'm going to say every time I've gotten in trouble, it's pretty much just been my fault. And, like, you know, there's nothing, like, it was just all on me. There's no leeway to be had.
Same exact thing here.
Except for once. One time I heard two cops tell the cops that were arresting me, mm-hmm. like, because they caught me with some weed, and it wasn't even good weed. And they're like, they literally, I heard him go, well, he doesn't have a lot and it's not good. You could just dump it off there in the grass, make him go throw the baggie away, send him on his way with like a ticket. And they took me to jail anyway. I was like, you sons of bitches. like those older veteran cops literally told you, you could just let me go. I wasn't worth the paperwork. And you were just like, fuck that. Want to get this guy.
You know what? You know what? It's actually the younger cops that are the more, dangerous ones.
Yeah.
They're the craziest ones. But they, I mean, they're coming in trying to do so. The older cops are so cool. Every time a cop has ever looked out to me, it's always been an old cop. I've never had a young cop who just understood, you know.
Right.
Never. The only older cops. And they'd look out for me because they were like, I understand what, you know. And shout out to that man.
I used to be one of those douchebags that would camp out at Best Buy for like Black Friday and shit.
Yeah.
And one year... Oh, this cop pulled up. The thing is, the first year that we actually camped out, because one year we just went on, like, Thanksgiving Day at, like, 6 o'clock. And then one year we actually camped out for, like, 2 days. But that year, the cop, like, came up at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're sitting there on the railing, like, in front of the building, closed down, drinking alcohol. Should not be drinking alcohol, you know, out in public. And the cop just pulls up, starts bullshitting with us, and we start, you know, just talking with the cop. And he's basically, like, he knows we're drinking. He's 5-6 feet from us. He has to be able to smell it. And basically he was just like, yeah, you know, most people don't understand. As long as you're just honest and polite and don't cause a ruckus, we don't want to take you to jail. There's so much paperwork involved. He's like, at a certain point, it's like, we'd rather just, you know, say that we stopped over, we talked to you, you promised to stop doing whatever.
And they see that you're not doing anything that can potentially harm others.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not fucking shit up. I mean, it's they're reasonable on it. But, yeah, for the most part, cops really just don't care.
I'm going to tell you what happened to my homegirl. She got a DUI in Ybor, okay? She got a DUI in Ybor, and what happened was that she really was driving drunk. So the cop pulled her over in Ybor, getting out of Ybor, cop pulled her over. And the cop was like, all right, she twisted. But, you know, she went, my homegirl. She's with my homegirl, right, who sees that, you know, hey, she can fill in, she can drive instead or whatever. And so the cop goes, look, I know you're driving drunk. And this is where I gave it to the officer because he really tried. And said, I told my friend, like, yo, you messed up. That was right. A good officer. The officer was like, look, I don't want to do the test because everything's on camera. It's being recorded right now. And he was trying to look out for her, like, listen, all you have to do right now is just let your girlfriend drive and, you know, we'll just walk away from all that, okay? Yeah. Because once I take you out this car, it's on camera. It's not good.
Right.
Trying to look out. Yo, this drunk chick gave the cop the nastiest attitude, gave him lip. You know, she didn't want to move the car. It was just like, and I was looking at this girl like, what are you doing?
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
He's looking, and the cop went back and forth with him for like 6 minutes and then realized, you know, he did what he had to do. And so, shout out to Officer Lewis. Shout out to Officer Lewis. In the Tampa Ybor City District, Officer Lewis, he really tried to look out. I completely understood. Absolutely. Shout out to Officer. And we went bowling 2 days ago. We went bowling.
Yeah. Jonas leads a very active life.
Absolutely.
I talked to a cop. I got pulled over. This was a couple years ago when I still had the van.
Mm-hmm.
My license plate was expired. I had a headlight out, and my license was expired. And I didn't have insurance. My license wasn't expired. It was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, because I didn't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I had a brand new job. It was like my first day, and my ride bombed out at the last minute. So I was like, I got to get to work. So I drove to work. Everything was fine, but I worked 2 to 10. So it's like 10:15. I'm driving home. I passed a cop who got behind me because of my headlight,
mm-hmm.
pulls me over, hadn't run my plate, and he goes, hey, how you doing tonight? And I was like, hey. He's like, no, I pulled you over. I was like, my headlight. He's like, yeah. I was like, I'm going to be real honest with you, too, before we go any further. And I was like, I know my license plate is suspended, and my insurance lapsed, so I may or may not have a suspended license, or it may not be suspended until next month. And I know I shouldn't be driving, but I had a brand-new job, first day, couldn't get a ride, had to go. And he looked at me for a second. He was like, hold on. Went back to his car. All he did was run my name. Didn't, like, put it in as driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any warrants out. I'm assuming that's what he did. Because he went back to his car, came back, and was like, all right, here you go. If you can get some help, I advise you to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and leave. I'm not going to wait for you to see if you drive away. And I was like, I live like two, and I was like 2 minutes from my house. And he's like, I'm going to drive away. So just whenever I drive away, you do what you got to do. And he drove knowing I lived to the right. He came out, took a left, and I just watched his taillights get small. Went home and was like, whoo.
Wow.
Yeah, dude hooked me up because I could have went to jail over that shit.
I mean, it's just one of those. Do you remember that officer's name?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Officer, I don't like penis, but you deserve a blowjob from somebody. Okay. Like, that's what his name it should be.
Okay.
Somebody should. I hope somebody blew that dude. It wasn't going to be me, but somebody needs to.
I'm going to tell you the number one experience where an officer looked out to me. Again, older cop, maybe on his pension, about to get his pension in a week or two. I was 18 years old. I had my license. I was finally able to go to Ybor. This was on my birthday. I was out with my cousins. We coming from Canada. Going to Ybor. Then, after that, we leave and we go. We drive. I think the light was green, but apparently he thought it was red. Anyway, I almost hit a cop car running a red light. The officer literally had to veer out of his way. He pulled me over so quick. And he goes, he was like, what's wrong with you? And then he saw that today was my birthday. He's like, oh, you're going to Ybor. This is going to be your first time. And he just understood what type of night it was. And he was just like, you know, if you hit me, oh, man, it would have been ugly for you. But it was like a fatherly sense of understanding. Like, you know, they talk to you like they have boys and they just.
Right.
It's great. It was just a beautiful night.
One of my favorite police experiences was I was with like five or six of my friends. In this little-ass, like, four-door Kia. So, like, and we were all 18, 19 years old, so there are just kids stacked up in this car. It's not even any of our car. It's my friend JC's mom's car, who's still at his house.
Wow.
Yeah, we just took his mom's car to go get beer. And, again, none of us are 21. We had two cases of beer in the car. None of us are wearing our seatbelts. Fucking it's raining, and I'm drive away from the gas station, going down the street, get pulled over. It's fucking raining. I'm like, oh, shit, I pull over. Like, everybody in the car is freaking the fuck out. They're like, we're all going to go to jail. I'm like, everybody shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down and let me handle this shit. I got this. And they're all like, all right. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I have no idea what I'm going to do. But I'm just like, I needed them to stop screaming. Cop comes up. I roll down the window. She just leans her head in and goes, I ought to shoot you for making me get out in the rain. Turn your goddamn lights on. Goes back to her car, pulls away. Everybody in my car sat in stud silence for like 5-10 seconds solid, dude. Just, I reached up, turned the lights on, threw that bitch in reverse. Somebody went to say something. I was like, nope, shut up. Just everybody shut up. And I just drove back to my friend's house like, oh. That was probably like one of the coolest cop things that like I ever have happened. Because she just, I had to shoot you for making me get out in the rain. Turn your goddamn lights on. And that was that.
Do you remember what these cops looked like?
White lady cop, blonde hair.
Older?
No, I want to say she was probably like 30s, 40s.
She wanted to nail you.
Huh?
She wanted to nail you.
My little 18-year-old Puerto Rican-looking ass. dude, and like I said, there was... Yeah, there's like five or six of us total in the car. And nobody was of age. Like, everybody was 18, but nobody's of drinking age. And there's just beer. Just two cases. I'm like, oh, we're so fucked. So not all cops are bad.
No, it's a wonderful thing. So we definitely handle that. We handle business.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, going to go for another topic. What do we got?
James, I feel like you should pick the next topic.
All right, I've never done this before. This is exciting. No, my guests feel like now. All right, here we go. What do we got here? Is Ben Carson really a racist white dude in really good blackface?
Wow.
Because what the fuck is up with Ben Carson?
You know what? I ain't say this, but my first African American history report was on Ben Carson. Dr.
What?
Ben Carson. First, no, I'm sorry. Actually, the first one was Dick Gregory. He was the second one. But... Yeah, Dick Gregory was number one, and I was just blown away, and just made me want. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, let's educate. Let's educate on Dick Gregory right quick. Drop some knowledge.
So, no, you know, that we'll talk about that for another show. So, and actually, shout out to Dick Gregory. shout out to Dick Gregory. We actually went to go see the Blossoms together in D.C.
He's dead, isn't he?
No.
Who is Dick Gregory?
He's alive.
I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, okay, Ben Carson. Yeah, we'll talk about that because I'm drawing a blank and I don't want to look stupid. So.
Absolutely. So, Shout out to Ben Carson. Actually, we had chicken noodle soup together at Panera Bread this morning. And it was delicious. Anyway,
you hit a book report on Ben Carson.
So anyway, yeah, I did this book report on Ben Carson. And what happened was, when I had did the report, I learned so much. And really, the man is a phenomenal doctor.
Right, because he's a neurosurgeon, brain surgeon.
Yeah, he's a neurosurgeon. He was actually not just the first African American surgeon. He was the first surgeon to do the type of surgery that he did. And
I like the specifics there.
Oh, absolutely. And he was just the tone for medicine and how mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's just for you respect this man's story. And so, but you know, when I heard he was doing all this stuff here, man, I wish I could have got that report back. I would have taken, because I aced that thing. I killed it.
You'd have taken the L on that one?
I would have taken the L on that one.
I think the teacher would have given you the L in retrospect.
You think so?
Like, I bet you that teacher sitting there going, I'd be like, man, I remember that big headed kid, Jonas, did a book report on fucking Ben Carson. I gave that little shit an L, man. I should have given that kid the L. Or I gave him the A. Yo, because Ben Carson referred to slaves as immigrants.
He did.
Yo, quit playing. What
Sorry. The fuck? No, he did.
Knocking shit over, playing with my lighter, burning up all my lighter fluid.
Yes, he did. He did. Him and Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, because they did the super terrorist. Is it super terrorist?
No, I didn't. I didn't read as much into the story as I should have. I was hoping you did. I was really hoping you did, because I just remember him. But he said a bunch of wild shit before this too, though, mm-hmm. and like he's made up like a lot of my assumption that he's really just a white dude and really really good, like some Robert Downey Jr. Tropic Thunder shit, is because of like look at like he attacked Trump, now he's friends with Trump. He fabricated his history, but he didn't fabricate a good history. No. He didn't fabricate saving a kitten from a burning building.
No.
He fabricated being a sociopath.
He fabricated that too. No, he actually came up from a really decent, like, you know, one parent home, but his mother worked very hard to make sure he was.
But like, he was like a good, quiet kid, and he's telling people, he's like, "Oh, I was a violent youth, and I stabbed somebody," and everybody that grew up with him was like, "That bitch ain't stabbed nobody. That bitch soft."
Correct.
Like, so why would you lie in a negative direction? I think he's just trying to sabotage neurosurgeons. Oh, my God. Undercover Brother.
What?
Have you ever seen the movie Undercover Brother?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember? All right, people. In the movie Undercover Brother, the quote-unquote the man is trying to ruin black people with mind control and making all the stars do and say really wild shit to, like, just discredit black people as a whole. Yo, what if somebody has gotten mind control over, like, Ben Carson and Kanye West and Bill Cosby and R. Kelly, and just, like, that's why all Mike Tyson, OJ, like, what if famous black people really don't do shit wrong? What if it's just white people mind controlling them?
It could be.
I think we just stumbled onto a whole new...
It could be. Yeah, James, write this down.
We're going to get assassinated by the Illuminati.
I don't know enough about the Illuminati.
They're all powerful, all knowing, all seeing group.
Do you think
of people.
They're real? Do you think they're real?
No, absolutely fucking not.
You think they're real?
Do you?
Shout out! I don't, but shout out to Rio Paris. Because
no.
What?
No. Trust me. We'll talk later.
Okay.
But
okay.
Don't do that though. Don't do that.
Okay.
I know what you're gonna do. Don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't do that. I will tell you how I feel about the Illuminati.
Okay. Okay.
This is what I think, honestly. I think there is a group of super rich people, mm-hmm. you know, like the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Rothschilds, like those people, right?
Goldstein.
Yeah, the upper echelon, the people that look at Donald Trump like, man, you broke bitch. You know, people that Bill Gates isn't even part of this group, right? We're talking like old money. I think there are a group of people like that. I think they do get together. I do not think they control shit. I do not think they run the world. I think that they use their money and their power to influence, to steer. I think the pretty much the Nixon and the Reagan administrations were a good example of that, between the war on drugs and then the privatization of prison systems. There was memos that have come out. People have come out and said that the war on drugs was targeted at minorities and poor neighborhoods to increase the prison population during the privatization of prisons. That's come out and been said, and they wanted to give them max prison sentences. But I don't think they control shit, and I think that right now with technology and with the internet and with blogs and people that are able to communicate these theories, they're not able to control as easily as they once were, and I think they're scrambling.
Okay. And I can understand that. Actually, and that does sound more logical. But you also have to understand, and I don't know if you believe in God, but I'm a man of God. And so the devil does have ways of influencing his ways, and pushing them and promoting them on people. But here's the thing. He can have the influence, all of that, but he does need people who do worship him. You know, see, he does. Once those people are in powerful positions, they push certain agendas. That's me, and I believe in God. You know, so I don't know if you do, too.
I believe in something.
Okay.
But
you don't believe in God?
I have interesting theories.
Talk about religion on radio.
I have interesting theories that somebody like yourself, as a man of God, may not take as kindly to as somebody who says atheistic. I'm not an atheist anymore. So I try to steer away from religious discussions. But one thing that I do always find interesting when people want to bring up Satan worshipers in such a negative light, out of all the religious doctrines, the Quran, the Torah, the Bible, the Satanic Bible, only one of those books never once demeans women, puts them down as property, devalues them, and in fact, in most circumstances, puts them above men. Only one of those books does that. Do you know which one it is?
Which one?
The Satanic Bible. The Satanic Bible is the only one that it actually literally says in there at one point that no person shall hold property of another person, especially woman.
Wow.
The regular Bible at one point actually says that a woman can be sold to her rapist. If a dude rapes a chick and just decides that wasn't bad, he can buy her from her family.
I never heard of that. Wow.
You know, we all know the Quran and their views on women, and even if you don't go to the extremists, where like the people that believe they should be, you know, even the eyes need to be shaded. Even if it's some of the more liberal Muslims, I guess a lot of it is still geared towards like, oh, did you know that I had a Muslim friend? You can date outside, like her, you know, like sect, I guess, whatever, was pretty lax, so she could date outside of her religion, but she could never marry somebody that wasn't Muslim, and she could never ask a man to convert for her. So if she was dating somebody of another religion and they wanted to get married, he could convert to Islam, but it had to be of his choice. She could never ask him to.
And
that'd be like one of the things when he went to convert that the Imam would ask him. Right? That's the right word, right?
So how do you know all this and don't believe that? You'll believe that there's a God, but you don't believe that there's an evil force?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I don't see it as clear cut and dry as good and evil. You know what I'm saying? You can do evil for good, and you can do good for evil. So I don't think it's a clear cut and dry, black and white area when it comes to
that.
Here's
the thing,
though. That's my belief.
But here's the thing. This is what you have it wrong. evil, no matter, because you're looking at the context, evil, no matter the activity or the context, is evil. However, it does not mean that the fruit it bears is necessarily evil. Does that make sense?
Right, you just said what I said, but in a different way. You said it more poetic.
No,
I just said evil can do good.
No,
which
no,
is exactly
no, no,
you're
no,
saying
no,
that something that's no, evil,
evil no,
can
evil,
bear good.
No,
that's
no,
not what you're saying.
No, an evil activity, right?
Okay.
Okay.
An evil act.
Okay,
like
yes.
Murder.
Okay, so let's say you murdered Hitler, okay, before he did all the things, right? Okay, heroic. Okay, here's evil though. It's still murdering.
Okay,
so at that moment, it does not create something good. It's
so
still
let's
evil.
Pull that down a little bit and scale it to something more realistic. I walk in. I'm John Smith. I walk in and I see my wife Susan Smith drowning our kids in the bathtub. I punch her in the head to make her stop. She smacks her head on the side of the tub, dies from an aneurysm. I murdered my wife, saving my children. Should I have let her murder my children? Is not all that is necessary for evil to succeed is for the good men to do nothing. So am I more evil for standing there and watching her murder or for murdering?
No. Here is the thing, James.
No. Which one?
James. No.
Do I stand there and watch her, or do what if I murder her?
No, James. No, you save your kids. Okay.
Okay, but that's an evil act. So now I'm evil because I saved my children.
No. You're not evil because those are just natural tendencies. However, the act itself is still evil. You understand?
But what came of it was good. The children are alive.
No, but you can't say that. You can't say that.
But that's what it is.
No.
That's on the surface, that's what it is.
You know what it is? You're simplifying this way too much.
That's because that
you're simplifying this way too much. And it really isn't that simple.
You're complicating it.
I'm not complicating it. I'm not. You're simplifying it way too much.
But didn't you say that evil is evil and good is good? So that's a pretty simple statement.
Good is good, yes. But at that moment, evil is evil at that moment. Evil does not control what happens next. It's nearly something that happens. It's just an action that is bad at the moment, and then what will come from it.
But literally the good action, or the good that comes from the evil, is the kids living. My evil act, because if I don't take that evil action, the wife drowns the kids.
No, that's not, you can't compare that to good. You see, this is what you're not getting, James. I don't think you're getting it. Good is, you can't say that's good because nothing was done to those kids. The kids did not do anything.
The mom was drowning them.
The mother was drowning them, but the kids did not do anything. The kids, so you can't, good is.
Right, so the drowning is evil.
It's a noun, but the activity of doing evil or good now makes it a verb. So good.
I think you're drunk off this water, Jonas.
No, I'm
sorry. I think Will really did spike it.
All right, you know what? No. Anyway, I just believe that there's a war between good and evil, and that's it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I think there are varying degrees of good and varying degrees of evil. And, again, I think that good can lead, just to be a more basic example, a more broad-stroked and to keep it fictional and lighthearted.
Okay, you know what?
Dexter. Did you ever watch the show Dexter?
I love that show.
How many people did he save because of the serial killers that he stopped?
But what he did was evil, though.
Yes, but the ending, the end result. So do the ends not justify the means?
No. The reason it does become evil is because as you go on to the season, you start to see that, wait a minute, Dexter actually needs to do this. This right. satisfies himself. So really, he has to murder somebody.
Which is evil.
But which is evil. However, he still remains evil because if it was not guided, he could have been just up murdering anybody.
But he does guide it. And doesn't guiding it then make it good?
He actually lost control of himself a few times.
Yeah, like, well, once when somebody said something about his wife.
Somebody said something about his wife.
That was what, season
correct.
Four there or five?
There was also that time he did kill an innocent man by accident.
Oh, when his assistant was the one killing him.
Yes.
But, I mean, in all, like, that wasn't him losing control, though. He found all the evidence.
Still an evil act. That's what makes so evil.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think he ever got to the assistant, which is sad. Because I think the assistant ended up going to prison because he, like, admitted to it or something.
Yeah, you
want to
pick up the topic out the jar because you're simplifying this.
No, it was actually a very good lead-in that we were talking about Dexter because we're going to go to the Netflix Pearls. Maybe I should have theme music when I come back. All the theme music for Netflix
theme,
Pearls.
You should have theme music.
So what is your Netflix Pearl, your movie or a TV show that people might not know about but should be watching?
Does it have to be on Netflix? I just
no, it can be on anything.
You know what? And James, thank you for the heads up, because I was actually thinking about this question all day.
Are you still thinking about it?
No, I already have it.
Go ahead.
Are you looking for it now?
I'm looking for mine. You go ahead.
Okay. So the movie I think people don't know about but should definitely watch is that movie called, it's a movie called Comedian by Martin Scorsese.
I think somebody was talking about this recently.
Yeah, Comedian, but honestly, I think one of the most brilliant films of all time. Robert De Niro. I don't know if you know about what the movie is about.
He's like an old comic that's trying to revive his act or something.
Yeah, but he's really, really desperate. He's actually not an old comic. He's actually a brand new comic. He's only been doing it for 2 years. He wants to make it. He stalks Johnny Carson.
Is this an old movie or a new one?
This is an old movie. This is old.
I thought there was just a movie done named Comedian with Scorsese.
The name of the movie is called Comedian. Well, Martin Scorsese was actually one of his first projects that he ever did with Robert De Niro.
Huh. Oh, did I know? Oh, so you went classy, you went old school.
Absolutely, but it's a great movie. It's just a brilliant work of art.
So what's besides like Stuck and Carson? Like, what's the whole progression? Is he like? I mean, is he just? And does he have skill? And he's just trying to get that opportunity, or is he just fucking a little off kilter?
He is where at a comic working hard at it for 2 years would be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I mean, probably not ready for Carson.
Not ready for Carson, but
maybe a guest set or an MC job.
Correct. You know. So he would do, and so he's confusing that with that him qualifying and trying to make it. But however, he just gets really desperate. He ends up kidnapping Carson. I mean, you know, it's crazy, man. He's like the motto of the movie is that he keeps getting turned down, and he wants it so bad. He wants it so bad to the point where he's literally having fantasies about doing, like, it's a beautiful movie.
So it's kind of it's almost like an obsession, like if you were to have a stalker movie, but the dude's stalking comedy, stalking fame.
Yep, it's an obsession for him.
Oh, yeah, what movie was somebody fucking talking about? I want to say that somebody had just brought that up. Or maybe we were talking about that somewhere another time.
Yeah, dude, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And also, if you haven't, this movie also is, what, can I say another movie?
Yeah.
This movie, I don't think this movie gets enough credit, but I was finally happy it did win an Oscar for animation. Zootopia. On Netflix. Man. Have you ever watched that movie?
No.
You have to watch it. It's a G-rated movie, bro, but the writing in it is so genius. You understand? I feel it's very few movies with genius writing. Frozen, phenomenal writing.
Wow, dude.
You know, but Zootopia, not only is the storyline so well written, but the jokes... James,
you're not 25, are you?
No, James.
You're the biggest 15-year-old I've ever seen.
James, hear me out. The jokes in the movie, James, are funny. Like, you'll be watching that, like, wow. Like, you know, it's kind of like that moment where you're watching Marvel. Every time I watch a Marvel movie, I'm like, dude, how can I get the job to write those jokes?
All right, I'm gonna do two. Because one of them that you just kind of, both of them are gonna relate to exactly what you just said.
Okay.
The first one is animated, and it kind of relates back to our whole religion talk. Sausage Party.
I haven't seen it though.
Good.
But the rating on it is so low.
You know what? A lot of people hated on it. I don't care. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Is it because it was dirty, but it looked like a kid movie?
Dude, it looks like, because everybody's, you know, so happy and go like, dude, it's so dirty. It's so fucking dirty. The whole thing is, because, you know, everybody gets the idea that they're vegetables and they're fruits and they're food in a grocery store. And then, you know, people buy them and then they see that they're actually getting eaten and they start freaking out. The food is in the grocery store, and they think that humans are gods. So when the humans come in to buy them, they're all like, oh, the gods are here. And then, like, when the food gets chosen, as they're getting carried out, they're yelling at their friends, like, oh, the gods are taking us to paradise. And so they think it's like, you know, they're getting taken to heaven and it's going to be great and there's going to be everything that they could ever want would be there. And it kind of centers around Frank, who's Seth Rogen, and I can't remember his girlfriend's name, but his girlfriend's a bun. So it's like they're hot dogs and there's buns and they're right next to each other. So there's their boyfriend, girlfriend, they're going to go together and they can't wait to get to heaven and they'll be married and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you see like somebody actually takes some of the groceries home. They're all excited and they see him like they start eating them. I think it starts with a potato.
Okay.
Yeah. They reach in the bag, they pull out a potato, and he's got like all the eyes, and he's all like, hey, oh my God, yes, it's happening. Oh. And they pull out a potato peel and just take that first layer of skin off, and they just start screaming, and all the other vegetables are like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, they're cussing. So, I mean, yeah, like anybody who looks at it and they think it's so cute, within a minute, they're all like, what? No. And if the parents walk away to the other room and they come back and they just hear, what the fuck? Because, I mean, there's screaming, there's cussing, there's sex, there's racism, there's fucking... Oh, dude, it's hilarious. It's all over the board. Like, it's over the top, but...
What would you give the rating on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10, I'd give it like a 7.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, like a 7, maybe an 8. Just because, I mean, there are a couple parts that are a little over the top or a little heavy-handed. But there is kind of a neat thing they have going on where they make it like, I'm trying not to do too many spoilers. Yeah, I won't do any more spoilers, but it kind of, it has like some religious undertones, and it's like, it's not just a pure shitting on religion, which is something you might expect from like comedians. Because, you know, a lot of us are either atheists or very loosely based in any sort of religion, famously. Like a lot of famous comics talk about it. Bill Burr's, I was letting his religion go, and Jim Jeffries is a very vocal atheist and very much against religion. And so, I mean, like, you don't get a lot of comedians that are have any sort of belief system that's not spiritually or based in psychedelic mushrooms like Duncan Trussell. But, yeah, so, I mean, I thought it was good. I thought, again, it didn't completely shit on religion. It did have a nice undertone in it. It said some different things. So, again, I thought it was funny. So check that out. And that relates to your animation and your... And your writing and everything. Because I thought the writing, like I said, was good, the way they kind of went at the different aspects of it. And I'm not normally a huge Kroll fan, but his voice is in it. I really like his fucking
Nick
character.
Oh, Nick Kroll does voices in there?
Oh, dude, Seth Rogen, Nick Kroll, Kristen Wiig, Jonah Hill, Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson, great guy, by the way. Oh,
Jesus Christ. There's so many people in that movie.
Yeah, he loves Rio, by the way.
Does he?
Yeah, he loves Rio. I mean, Rio literally walked in the improv because he's home to a set. Rio crushed. Mm-hmm. Him and Rio, I mean, they were just talking for hours, day after day, just relating to life and just bouncing. Dude, it was the greatest thing ever. And he was like, just do time. It was great. It was crazy.
Yeah, when he was there, one of the nights he was upstairs when I did a set, and I was just like, I didn't want to go upstairs and talk to him afterwards. Upstairs.
He's such a great guy.
I didn't because I was like, if he didn't see the set, then I'm going to be sad because I thought I had a really good set and somebody like Craig Robinson.
You did.
And then if I did go up there and he saw the set and he wasn't like, oh, yeah, good set, if he was anything that was like, he didn't really like it. He's just being polite. Fuck, I bowed in front of, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of was just like, he was like, oh, you want it? I was like, nah, man, I'm going to go ahead and take off, man. I got to get up in the morning, man. But that's cool, man. Tell him I said, what's up, man? Like, I was like, fuck, dude. Like, I should have.
Do you regret it now, looking back? Do you regret it?
A little bit, but that's one of the things that my anxiety does is it for the most part, I'd say that 99.9% of the time I've been in situations like that, I've never, I don't do something that I regret. But that one, I actually did just kind of have to go home. But I was like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, no, I'll meet him another time, I'm sure. I'm not doing this right now. I just can't do this right now.
Correct.
All right, so I'm going to do that one. And the other one also ties into, because you said something about Marvel movies, so superhero movies. So my other one I'm going to recommend is the new show on ABC, CBS. I don't fucking know. I watch it on Hulu. But Powerless.
That sounds so familiar.
It has Danny Pudi, Ron Funches, Vanessa Hudgens. I want to say it's Jason Leydick. Athletic, something like that.
Is it like you said it was animated?
No, no, no. This one's not animated. This one's a TV show. But basically what it is and they have another chick on there too, and I don't know her name, and she was fucking, there's actually two of the women on there are two of the best fucking characters. But basically Vanessa Hudgens gets hired by Wayne Securities, but it's not Bruce Wayne, it's Van Wayne, like one of his cousins. Yeah, like in this, like Bruce Wayne has brothers and sisters. I think it's all cousins. I think it's like a second cousin of Bruce Wayne. But anyway, so like it's this off security for Charming City. For Charming City. And it's like literally as Vanessa Hudgens gets it, like she's riding there on like a subway train or whatever, like above ground train. She looks up and there's like a superhero and a supervillain fighting. And she's like, oh my God, do you guys see this? Look at that. And she's like all pressed up to the window. And it happens so often in the city that like everybody else on the train is just like playing on their phone. And like one guy looks up and he goes, oh, damn it. And he like pulls out his phone. He's like, Siri, move all my appointments back an hour. And she's like, guys, you don't see this every day. And he goes, no, you do. You literally see this every day. So like, she gets hired, and her team, which is Danny Pudi, Ron Funches, and this other girl I can't remember, her name. They're developers, like they develop products to help protect citizens from shit like an umbrella that deflects rubble, and like a watch that lets you know when supervillains are getting close, so you can run for protection.
Okay.
And it's so funny. It's so funny. Like there's a part where the dude, like the Wayne comes into the room and he's like, I stayed in a ice hotel in Greenland. Did anybody else stay in an ice hotel? And one of the researchers like, I slept on a pile of clothes at my weed dealer's mom's house. And everybody's just like, what? So like, it's so funny. So definitely check that out. Powerless.
Powerless. Shut up.
Yeah. Would you quit fucking with the arm, Jonas? Jesus, you're giving me anxiety.
You know what? It's not long enough.
It's fine. You have not stopped adjusting that since you sat down. It's been in 17 different perfectly fine positions. You're lucky we're wrapping this up. I gotta go. I gotta go fucking do dad stuff. Stop doing stuff. Stop. That's why you don't touch the mic. Did you hear that?
What happened?
And you just, because you're messing with the thing. Just give your Give your social meds, your dates, anything you got coming up. Start your plugs.
Absolutely, guys. You can follow me at...
Do it.
Okay.
Tell them what you're following.
So you can follow me on Bitter Big Head, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to follow me on Facebook, just Jonas Presenda. You can follow me that way as well. Upcoming shows I got coming up. Man, I'll be at the Inception Bar and Grill in Riverview this Thursday, the 15th and the 22nd. I'll be at the Tampa Improv, and then the 30th through the 2nd, I'll be at the Tampa Improv the weekend with Guy Tori. So,
oh shit!
Let's just come out. Let's just have a good time.
I think Guy Tori knew my dad. Too bad. When's the dates on that one?
End of March. It's the last weekend in March.
I'll be gone. All right. I think so. If not, that's my last week in here, so I'm already doing a bunch of shit.
You're leaving for real.
I am. I'm out, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you going to come back?
I'll come back to visit every now and again, maybe, if I get booked.
How are you going
to
see your daughter?
She's moving up there. We went over this extensively. And on that note, we're kicking Jonas off the show. ladies and gentlemen, as always, James Bailey.
James, thank you for having me, man. Thank
you for coming on. I did have fun, even though you just forgot what we all talked about minutes later. No, I'm kidding. Jonas, as always, thank you for coming on, brother.
Thank you, brother.
James Bailey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'll be at Snappers this weekend in Palm Harbor, the 9th, 10th, and 11th of, 9th, 10th, and 11th of March.
This weekend.
One show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. Go online for tickets. Hit me up for tickets. March 16th, just booked this today, so that's next week Thursday. I'll be doing... what's it called? Unscripted. Unscripted Improv Theater.
Man, that's a great
Comedy, Cigar City Comedy Group. John Jay just booked me on that today, so I'll be out there next Thursday, the 16th. So check that out.
And let us know how it is too. Let us know.
Oh, I definitely will be talking about it again. And you guys just follow me on social media to get all the dates, times, details. Hit me up for tickets. As always, again, James Bailey, haha. Facebook,
and again,
Twitter, Instagram.
You can't see me in March. I also have dates in April to do as well.
No. Now we're done. Follow him on social media. My mom's favorite podcast page on Facebook. And as always, call your mama. She worries. She misses you.
I love you, Jay. Crazy man would. So if you catch me in your city, somewhere out in your hood, just say, smile for me, girl. What you looking at? Come on. Let me see your grill. Let me see my what? Your grill. Your grill. I'm proud that you restore and tell her, make me a grill. She said, smile for me, girl. What you looking at? I'm going to see your grill. You want to see my what? Your grill. Your grill. Had a whole top diamond in the bottom rose gold. Baby, it's the Iceman powwow. Yeah. I got my mouth looking something like a disco ball. Yeah. I got the diamonds in the ice all hand set. I might cause a cold front if I take a deep breath. My teeth gleaming like I'm chewing on aluminum foil. Smile showing off my diamonds, sipping on some potent oil. Baby. I put my money where my mouth is and bought a grill. 20 cash, 30 stacks, let them know I'm so for real. Yeah. My motivation is them 30 pointers, BVS, the front of gym. My mouthpiece simply symbolize success. Right. I got the wrist wear. Neckwear that's captivating, but it's my smile that got these on like a spectating. My mouthpiece simply certified, a total package. Open up my mouth and you see more cats than a salad. My teeth are mind blowing, giving everybody chills. Call me George Foreman, cause I'm selling everybody grills. Smile for me, girl. What you looking at? Let me see your grill. Let you see my wife. Yeah, your grill. Yeah, your grill. I'm proud that you're restoring, tell her, make me a grill. She said, hey. Smile for me, girl. Got them yellows, got them purples, got them reds. Hey. Life's gon' hit it, make you woozy in your head. Hey. You can catch me in my two short drop. Mop got color. Just let me see your grill.